Will you listen to the scripture for this morning, taken from the first chapter of Acts? In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The word of God for the people of God. Those of us who were in Romania a little over a week ago, we thank you very much for your prayers and how you held us up in the midst of that. And that was one of our portion, I guess, a little bit of fulfilling some of that scripture that was there and taking the message of Christ to the ends of the earth. I'm going to ask those who are the team if you'd come up now to share. We want to share with you a little bit of some of the impact that we received, as well as the impact that we found that our support of the churches there in Romania, how that is helping change and I'm not exactly sure what else to say, but I'll let them share.
Good morning. I wanted to share a little bit about relationships. The one orphanage that we had been to a few times in the past, it's been 3 years since we had been there. And it was, I thought it was pretty cool. We walk in the building, and like I shared first, you walk in the building and it felt like Norm from Cheers. You walk in and they said, "Dawn!" I remember you guys. But this particular orphanage was pretty run down several years ago, but we've been praying over the years, and now it's I guess you could say it's been remodeled. The kids have a nice warm place to stay. They have new house parents who are very loving. And the evening that we were there, the kids grabbed their instruments, guitars, keyboard. It felt like the Von Trapp family singers. They did very well, and you could tell the house parents are very encouraging to them with the different things that they're doing. The second thing, we had gone to a small church near the Hungarian border in a village called Salentia. The thing I took from there is the people were so appreciative to us. Said, "You know, we appreciate that you take time out of your lives to come and spend time with us. That means so much to them. That we're traveling halfway around the world to spend time with them." And one of the skits Ann had done was showing like Christ washing the feet of the disciples, and just that the humbleness of Christ. And that's what we try to show when we're there and when we're here. But it was very important to them, knowing that there's other people that care for them, pray for them. So, and I know we as a church pray for the different places that we minister to, and I want to thank you for that.
Because of COVID, it had been 3 years since Concord was able to send a team, but for me, it had been 5 years since I had been able to go back to Romania. But as the last song we'll sing says, I held the people in my heart for all that time. And so it was just such a blessing to be able to reconnect with the people that I'd met there 5 years ago. But we also had a whole new group of people to meet this time because of the outreach now that has been started to the Ukrainian refugees. And one young businesswoman in particular really struck me with her resourcefulness. Before she had ever left Ukraine, she and her partner ran a business called Baby's Lab, and they sewed really adorable baby blankets, and they crocheted these baskets like to put in a nursery. And when they came to Romania, they brought a lot of their business tools they needed, but they didn't have room for their sewing machines. So our pastor friend there had worked with them and helped them acquire a sewing machine, and he let them have some what had been an attic storage spot, and these two business partners and their husbands just turned it into an absolutely adorable little shop. And there is not 1 ounce of space in there that's wasted. But they said she was just up there. She's blonde. That's the blonde is the one I'm talking about, Darina, in her little shop. Her son is actively involved in a soccer program that is led by some of our ministry friends, partners there. Her daughter is taking piano lessons, and they've made arrangements for her to practice on the keyboard in the Methodist church there. And her husband is an engineer. He's actually with them there, which is pretty unusual. They're doing well. They still, of course, desire strongly to return home. But I was so glad that I asked some of the missionaries who were there, well, are all the Ukrainians doing this well? And they said, well, the ones that have come to the city are doing pretty well because there's so much diversity here in languages and in job availability. But they said the ones that have gone to the more rural areas or the smaller towns are struggling because of the language barrier. They're not able to get jobs as much. But the thing that blessed me the most about Darina was the fact that I met her at the church. When they were in Ukraine, they had gone to an Orthodox church, but now her family attends the Methodist church, and she said it was because they were so good to us, they reached out to us, and they helped us, and I thought, what an example for all of us of spreading the love of Jesus Christ.
We have been asked before, well, why do you go to Romania? It's a different mission trip in that we're not building buildings or doing very obvious kinds of results. And yet I think those of us who have been there more than once have kind of concluded that we see our role in several ways. One, to be encouragers, kind of like the Aaron and the Hurs that helped to lift up Moses' hands when he got weary trying to support the battle. We're only there for a week out of 365 days, so you think, what difference can that make? And yet, as Don shared, time and again, they have said to us, we can't believe that you keep coming back, that you take the time that the money is spent to allow you to come and just encourage us to keep doing what God has called us to do. And in the midst of that, a second reason we find ourselves going back is for the idea of transformation. We could tell you countless stories for hours on end of things that have been transformed in the time since we've been going. Not only physical things like buildings coming up and changes made to buildings and properties and ministries so that more can be done, but more importantly, transformations in lives. And again, countless stories could be shared, but I think for all of us, when we return each time, it's kind of like Paul kind of returning to where seeds had been planted and seeing what God has done to bring about new fruit in the places where they had been before. This time as we returned, there's still many more pictures that could be shown in that PowerPoint, but that as we returned, we were given a plaque that was painted by one of the young men involved in some of the teen programs that we have had connection with in the past. And they put an inscription in it on Romanian that simply said, "The seeds you have planted are growing." And that is why we go back. Because not that we are doing anything, but how God has used us, and not just us personally, but each of you who have supported us, not only with your monetary support to enable us to go, but most importantly with your prayers, to continue to allow the work in Romania to grow and to flourish. And so for that, we thank you.
There are so many different people that we met and got to talk with. So, I mean, there's so many stories. You could ask any of them, and they could start telling you different stories of different people from Romania, from Ukraine. And so I'd encourage you through the time to just ask some of those stories. They're rather moving. For me, part of it was that, you know, having not been there for 3 years, and when you go back, every time we've gone back, when we've gone each year, things have changed. But the difference of change from 3 years was remarkable. And part of that was because of the visions that they have for ministry, of how that transforms and changes who and what they are. In Sibiu, when we have been there in the past, they've always had a church building that would open up and allow them to use a room to worship in. And now, since we've been there, they, through a loan that was given to by the conference, they were able to purchase the ministry center where their parsonage was living. And so now they have a location where they can do church themselves, and that it's there, and they can identify that as themselves. They also, 3 years ago, we went back, as was mentioned, that there was an orphanage in Cornetel, which was just outside, 15, 20 minutes outside of Sibiu. And some of those kids were coming into their ministry center where they were doing after-school tutoring and helping. And they took us there 3 years ago, and the place was kind of a dump. It was not well kept. It wasn't clean. And some of the problems they had was it was an orphanage run by some other country, but they just had some staff hired that some would work 8 hours a day, and then they'd leave. Somebody else would come in. They didn't have any house parents. And the two staff that might be on duty together, they didn't get along, so they would get in fights and arguments in front of the kids. And the building was not segregated, so that there was boys and girls on the same hallway together, and the girls, the doors didn't lock, so the girls would try to barricade the doors. Also, men would come in from the town to try to get to be with the girls, and it wasn't a good situation. Pastor Christie, through the church, they were able to take over the leadership of the orphanage. And so now the place is amazingly clean. They have a family that they have become house parents, Michael and Christina, and they love those kids as if they're their own. Dawn always has some kind of a unique suitcase experience. So you can ask him later. So while we were trying to track down where his suitcase went and the lady's stuff that he had, I just had met this guy, Michael. I didn't realize he was a house parent, so I just asked him. I said, do you have a family? And he looked at me and said, I do have a family. I said, I have like 9 kids. And I was like, what? And then I found out he was the house parent for the orphanage, but he considers them all his kids, all his kids. And that's transformed that whole orphanage. They're learning the scriptures, they're studying, they're praying together. And now it's considered one of the best orphanages in Romania, from where it had been one of the worst. So they had a vision of how that could be a transformation there. We stopped in Mediaș, which was a place where they had taken 28 orphans in there. And they had a hard time getting those 28 orphans because they had a bus that was sent, and the bus was supposed to bring them, and then different people kind of took control of the bus and were trying to take them someplace else to traffic them. And so by the time they were able to get the kids there, the kids were scared because the people trafficking them said, oh, that's a bad place. And so they had to show them the love of Christ. And then the kids were warm and warmed up. They're in a school with, there's a total of 60 kids there. And as Marcia had mentioned, most of them are Just mothers with their kids. The husbands are still in Ukraine fighting, but they don't have the language skills to be able to get work and get jobs. And so a lot of the mothers are just helping teach in the school, but not getting any pay for that. But I watched one little boy come up to Thomas, who organized this whole thing, and just grab his leg and hold on in love. And I can show you a picture of that at some point if you want. But they're seeing that transformation in those lives there. We arrived at Cluj. We always stayed at a hotel called Hotel Hanno Fulton. That was where the church would meet and would rent one of the rooms there. One of the prayer concerns they'd asked us when we left was 3 years ago was, can you pray? Because we'd like to have our own place that can become a community center. Well, now they have control of the hotel. The guy that owns the hotel turned that over to them, where now they rent whatever rooms they have, but they also, there's six different ministry groups that work out of that hotel, and they have the church, and now that place is known as their ministry center. There's the church and Alpha Group, and there's Foneo, which hooked them up with some of the Ukrainian ministry. There's Alpha Group. There's two others. That's where the baby's lab is up in the where the Ukrainian ladies are able to do their thing up in one of the rooms, and they still have rooms available for people coming through. So that's one of the prayer things, the vision they had when we were there before that has been fulfilled as they pursued. And also, because of timing, God has allowed that to be used when in the midst of a crisis where the issues with Ukraine took place. They were there able to provide rooms for refugees coming through until they were able to get where they were at. Outside of Cluj is the little village, Roma village of Komchesh. Our first year there, there was a kind of a in-town type field pasture where we gathered and we would have worship, and there'd be a cow pie or horse manure here or there, but all the people would come that Samuel had built a relationship with, and we would stand there and have worship. The kids would be sled riding beside us that were part of the families. And now there's, as you saw the picture, there's a nice big church building that they've been able to build. And through different ministry groups and ours included, helping for that. And now the Roma gypsies, not having anything like that, now they have their own place where they can come and worship. We were taken up to a little village called Szolnoka up on the Hungarian border. And it's a place that's filled with all kinds of tiny villages. And there's so many people that are starting to be drawn to the church that they don't have enough pastors. People to minister with them. We were told that if we wanted to do something with the kids, we weren't given enough advance notice, but if we did something with the kids, we'd probably have 125, 150 kids, elementary age, show up. Because there's potential, if all the churches gathered together, there would be close to 1,500 people. But now they're all in little villages there. The little church that we were in, I'm going to say if you took two-thirds of one side of these pews, that was the inside of the whole church, and it was packed with different ministry leaders and other people, and a worship band that is just phenomenal. There's so much happening there, so many stories of them being in the right place at the right time when something like the Ukraine war happened, that they were able to provide ministry because they have a vision. So when you go back 3 years later, everything's different, yet everything's still the same. Because it's all changed because they have a vision of what they want to see God do through them. And then they have the faith to allow that to happen. Now the question that raises in my mind is, do we have a vision? If people were to leave here for 3 years and come back, would they find it any different? True, there'd be some different faces, but would we be just the same, just going through the motions, the routine, or would there be something that's changed in us because we have a vision that God has given us of what ministry we're supposed to accomplish? So I come back challenged, and to challenge you, that what is God calling us as a church to do? Not just have Sunday morning services, Sunday school, and some study groups, but what are we called to become? Where are we moving? How will we impact the world around us? And do we have the faith to allow God to do that? Not trying to say, oh, well, I don't have the finances, but trusting God to provide whatever is needed. That's my challenge for you. So you become witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world, that you might have a vision how you can impact the world. Let's pray together. Father, may you use us. Lord, as we've seen how our seeds have been planted in Romania, Lord, may you help us plant seeds right here, that you might be glorified and honored. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you join me in our closing hymn? Here I am, Lord. May you ask God to give you a vision of how you might impact the world around you, whether it's just through a small group of people like in a little orphanage nearby, or whether it's in just touching a whole world in crisis through events like the Ukraine. God can use you personally to plant seeds. Ask him to give you the vision of how you can do that. May you go in the grace and peace and love of Jesus Christ. Amen.